family. My name is Teresa Manetti. Okay. What is this right here, honey?
You gotta read that.
Oh, read this, okay. Yeah. Read it to who? Read it to myself. Oh, to them.
You can read it into that, like, to yourself.
This new age. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Thanks for letting me read. You know, these things get more and more different every year I come up in this tip. Let me take my coat off, and let's pay homage to the greatest source of all, God of my understanding. If you would join me for a minute, let's take a moment of silence. Thank you. Some people don't know what a moment of silence is, and some people don't know what it's for. When I say a moment of silence, I'm really talking about 60 seconds. You know, because I don't believe in rushing in and giving reverence to the Most High who got me here by grace and mercy and sitting me up here with people just like myself trying to recover and find a new way of life. We're different now. It's not like the old way of life is not working for us anymore. So now there comes a time when things must change. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I always love to come up the road with new churn, newcomers. I call them that because, you know, I see them grow and I watch them go from one level to the next. While I was on the bench and the gentleman was reading the readings, reading the 12 traditions, my newcomer people that I brought with me, they were reciting silently with him. And that made me feel so good because a lot of people don't know the traditions. A lot of people don't necessarily recite the readings. We're talking about some theory. We're talking about some history. Go back and go to a meeting and listen at every word that's read to you from those readings. Everything has a purpose. It's read over and over and over because we're trying to debrief you and deprogram you from that trash from the streets. See what I'm saying? So the bottom line is we keep on allowing addicts to read and reread. We start the meetings with these readings. We start with prayer. We end with prayer. That's experience. Because lo and behold, down the road, once we put enough steps in you and enough traditions, you're going to stop acting like the animal you were before you came here. And you're going to become a productive member of society. Now, I'm going to tell you this much. I ain't all that happy with the topic. I have to be truthful with you because I tell people, don't send for me unless you want to hear the truth. And the truth is a truth, and it's a truth that will set you free. Because I was saying to myself, I've been around here for a minute. I said, now I done spoke on some of everything. I said, now where did you get that from? What is it again, baby? Theory or experience? The addict I am, I went all up in my head. I say, let me see if theory of relativity, you know, Einstein's theory, E equals MC squared. You know, I'm so sick, I'm not going to stay on track. Because when he gave it to me, excuse my expression, I'm apologizing early because sometimes, you know, I might be offensive or assaulted, but I don't mean to. It's just that I'm me and I'm all right with who I am. I've given myself permission to express myself in a Narcotics Anonymous room. And that's all this is. It's just a meeting. It may be a convention, but we're just a meeting here. So I looked at that. My mind said, darn, do you want to go with something that shows your level of intelligence? Do you want to go with something that shows them that you know how to use your medulla oblongata? I said, what you want to go with for the folk today, girl? You know, and I was all tired. I was coming in here. I was listening to all kind of old records coming up the street and everything. We singing the OJs and everybody just having a ball. Old-fashioned recovery. God, in this building and this convention is gigantic comparison to what it was when I first started coming around. That was some years ago. But it's all good because I'm glad because I'm among friends. It might be a lot of strange faces, but it's just friends I've never met. And for that, I'm truly thankful. Like I said, I was asking the people that was riding with me, my friends, I said, now, what do y'all think about this topic? And they said, well, I ain't gonna put it all on them. I said, do you think that was one of the ones that they didn't have nobody to do it, so they called me? You know, because I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of deep. Because every time I come and speak somewhere, I'm speaking on traditions or steps or other topics. And I said, boy! And I kept on going, and I stayed sick with it ever since the fella gave it to me to talk about, because I wanted to talk about so many other things. So by the time I got sick enough with my head and what was going on inside my soul and my spirit, I finally let it go today. And when I came through the door, I said, free at last. I said, because whatever I say in here, I believe that the addicts in this room going to love me irregardless, in spite of. See, because you're bound to that through our traditions and our steps and our program. So I said, I'm going to be all right. Now, am I going to be all right? Does anybody love me in here? Just tell me. Feel me. Okay, then. It's on. It's on. Theory versus what? Experience. First of all, let me top on a little theory. Don't you know? And welcome to anybody that's just coming in. Welcome to the greatest show on earth, Narcotics Anonymous. We have everything here for you. Our plan is to recover a day at a time from a disease called addiction, learn a new way of life, become a productive member of society. That's what we are here for. You get a lot of other things benefit-wise on the way. Some of you get your husbands, some of you get your lovers. Some of you get houses, cars, you name it. Coming into a fellowship of this magnitude, you get a lot of things. But the most precious thing that you can get in here is recovery. Recovery from the drugs that held you captivity. Recovery from the drugs that put you in penitentiaries and jails and institutions. I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? Ain't no need to get mad. Because we in a room full of hoes, pushers, pimps, perpetrators, liars, thieves. And the greatest room of all, Narcotics Anonymous, the room for improvement. And there's no need to feel bad about that, because this is grace and mercy here, because you know what? We own the last house on the block. We have done everything under the sun. That's why when I sit there and I listen to people share and they talk about some of the things that they have done, I say to myself, okay. And if I hadn't done it, you know what I say? That's a yet for me. Starting with that theory again, you know, there was once a theory that an addict couldn't get clean. We have theories that come from the other fellowship from long time ago. You know, there was a theory in so many words that we could not get clean, but the other fellowship didn't want us because they were working on a certain type of drug. Now, I'm gonna go theory with history first, and then I'm gonna double back and piggyback and bring you on around. But the bottom line is, when that did happen, there were addicts that went to meetings, you know, and they went to the other fellowship meetings, but they could not stay clean, you know, and theory was that we could not stay clean. You know, we were kind of like a group of people who, a caste system. We were thrown out, has-beens. You see what I'm saying? Nobody wanted to have anything to do with addicts. And we couldn't have meetings in open places like people in the other fellowship. And one reason was because we had too many damn outstanding warrants. Most addicts, you know, some kind of way we pick up warrants, lo and behold, some kind of way they just, like magnets, they just stick to us. It ain't because we really done anything wrong, is it? It's because it's the nature of the beast. See, because that beast has told me that I can do anything I want to. I can walk right past somebody with a television set and they won't even notice it. You see what I'm saying? It has told me that I could pick something up off the counter and nobody would even notice it. And then if they did notice it, I had the right words to say to clean it up. We are ingenious. We are individuals who are smarter than the average. Research scientists have been trying to find out what makes us tick for years. You are a phenomenon. That's damn theory, because they couldn't figure you out. They couldn't figure why is it that addicts, everyday addicts like me and you could get out there and steal and get money together to support a beast and make more money than a CEO in an Enron building somewhere. You know, you are ingenious. You are, I'm gonna tell you, salt of the earth people. But we are special people. And the theories that have labeled us from the outside world for so long, now through our experience, we are proving it to be untrue. Ain't no once an addict, always an addict no more. That's a theory that's long dead. We are addicts now, and guess what? We living clean and free, and guess what else we're doing? We got businesses, we've got homes, we've got everything under the sun. And we are productive members of society. We're not the average Joe Blow or Ho on the street like we were. In fact, every time somebody comes in this door, what happens is there's one less addict out there that's doomed to die. One more addict has a chance to come in here. We set a chair in the middle of the floor because we pray that that's for the addict who walked by that building who will either die today or who doesn't know that there's a new way to live. Other theory, moving on down the line, when we got us the basic text because they didn't believe we could write it. Addicts aren't smart. They didn't believe that we could. It was enough of us that could really write and read. And I'm telling you history because I've gone through the archives and found out all the dick dastardly things that were about us today. See, you sit here on the wealth, knowledge, experience, and pain of predecessors that came before you. And Narcotics Anonymous has even changed since I've been in the rooms. Things are different now. And change is good because change is constant. But sometimes I find myself caught up in the same change that related to theory in the old days. Now, theoretically, the first Narcotics Anonymous that got together, we didn't work the traditions. We fell by the wayside. That's right. I want you to know that this wasn't intact the way it is now. The way you sitting out there relaxing on your grand asses, it was not like that in the beginning. Too many people tried to run this thing and nobody wanted to follow traditions and we got to the place where people would talk about recovery at different places, but we didn't have any guidelines, any spirituality guidelines. And that's what the traditions are. Because a newcomer will come in here and know more about the traditions before he even get the steps because he's visual. You let some old timer be screwing up somewhere and watch a newcomer be looking with curiosity. He knows that particular behavior and some of them might come up and pull you up on it. Because they're visual first. In other words, we teach them how to act by how we act, how we govern ourselves. How many times you see people with 10, 11, 12, when you were coming up in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, not doing what they were supposed to do or what your idea of or what they told you that they should be doing? How many times have you seen that happen? That's why we got the traditions. When we adopted those traditions after we went astray the first time, Jimmy Kay and a few more addicts got together, and next thing we know, we were back on target. See, and then through growth over the years, the same things that they say were theory based on addicts turned out to be the experience that we had through hard-won experience from addicts out there predecessing this program. Now, take this in consideration. How about the basic text? Like I said, there was a theory that we couldn't write. But don't you know, lo and behold, over the years, addicts got together and put the basic text together. There were pieces of paper from everywhere. We got together, we edited, we did all sorts of things to get that out. And then we put at one point a time for those books to be sold like for about $25 a piece for the first pile of books so that we could get funds to continue the Narcotics Anonymous program and as well as to continue printing those books. They are cheaper now, and we said that we wanted them to be a certain price. Now, sometimes I go different places, and some people have different little prices on this, and some people want to add the tax, and some people want to do that. We didn't tell you to do that shit. Didn't we tell you to do that? Sometimes it's good to follow good orderly direction. Sometimes it's not good to get into a place and try to act like you know everything and don't listen to the old-timers who tell you things. Because even as I speak, a lot of people feel like it's time to put the old-timer on the shelf. Because a lot of times you want drama and trauma in a meeting. A lot of times you don't want to be pulled up on your basic principles, your spirituality principles. I was talking in a meeting the other night. I lost it. I ain't perfect. When I see something that's not going right, that I know I was taught by this loving, caring fellowship, I got to say something about it. I take a risk. Because a lot of times people don't want you to tell them nothing. You see what I'm saying? People told me, so why in the hell couldn't I tell you? And I'm giving you good knowledge, good orderly direction when I do say some things. But the bottom line is things are changing. Theory-wise, once we got that basic text out of the way, don't you know that we had to go to the next level and implement service work guidelines? We had to do the twig. We had to do something that showed us how to put our service together. See, because, you know, out there they got the Constitution. In here we got the 12 steps. Over there they might have a Magna Carta. In here we got the 12 traditions. We had to do something because we were going to be a dying breed. So things continue to change and we continue to grow. All this is based on theory that once an addict, always an addict. All the times that we were building ourselves and learning how to correct ourselves and learning this new way of life, people defied us and said that it couldn't be done. Now, let me boil down, because that's just a little history, because you need to know that. Somebody might ask your ass that one day, you're going to flunk a test. So the bottom line is, you know, you keep on grabbing for all the information you can and keep going. Be like Pac-Man and absorb it all. Because once you do get into the habit of learning about that, you're going to have to learn how we work in Narcotics Anonymous, especially when it comes to service work. All these things based on theory that we couldn't get these things together. Don't you know we're a worldwide fellowship today? 33,000 and some odd meetings around the world in Narcotics Anonymous. We've got the respect from the courtroom, the police department, from counselors, from lawyers, from judges, from doctors. We've got worldwide support. And one of the reasons we got it is because a lot of them damn people we employ them with our sick behinds. You see what I'm saying? But for most part, this is a fellowship of love, a fellowship of spirituality, a fellowship of people trying to stay together, trying to find a new way of life, trying not to return to the belly of the beast. Then on, as I go on a little bit more about different little experiences. Let's try my own experience. When I came into the room of Narcotics Anonymous, sure, I heard the literature. I heard what people were saying. And that was theory to me because that was nothing I wanted to live by. I came in and sit on in the back. Wouldn't sit in the front at first. Heard the things but couldn't believe it. The theory was that I could stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way of life. That was theory in part to me. I didn't have to go with Sigmund Freud and the rest of the boys. I could bring it back down to what really happened for me. So I heard people sharing, and I heard people mostly sharing about their problems, so I thought. I heard people sharing about their feelings, about things they wanted to change, about their wives, about their husbands, about their marriages, their brothers, their sisters. I just heard all this information, And the only thing that registered true for me, all I want to know is who got the dope and how is it that when they use, you don't get grimy again and you don't get broke. Because I wasn't convinced. That was the mental theory I came in here with. Okay, yeah, they saying all this, but I'm from Missouri. Show me. They weren't showing me. They were just talking. I thought it was a few informants planted around just trying to find your business, trying to get you some of them cases that they hadn't served on the street yet. I thought this was a melting pot for the police. I really did. And so as I matured and as I grasped the theory of the steps, as I grasped the first step telling me that I was powerless over my disease, then it clicked on me because I heard so many people talking, but they had so much information, but it all boiled down to the same thing. I had this disease that I believe is a disease today of addiction, and my life had become unmanageable. Now, lo and behold, unmanageability is what? For me, I thought it was just not being able to find the dope man after hours. That was unmanageability for me. I thought it was not having enough money to go and cop. I thought that was unmanageability. I thought that I couldn't make me some money to get me some more drugs at that particular time. I thought those things were unmanageability. All that's theory to me, but as they broke it down and I learned more and I began to work the first step, the first shell of the onion started peeling off of me. My skin started changing. You know how some of us come in here gray, dark, dingy looking, skin looked like it needed to be dunked in Clorox. You know, I looked like that. But the experience of the theories that had been given to me about this new way of life had to start somewhere. So for me, it started with the steps. And when people told me, well, about a God of my understanding, I said, wait a minute. You didn't come, or I didn't come in here for you to throw the religious thing on me. Excuse me, you gotta give me some water, honey. I'm 56 years old. And I ain't got it like I used to, but I'm still an anchor while y'all be the sail. I'm holding down the ship. Thank you, darling. You're so sweet. But anyway, you know, as I went and got myself involved in the steps, the void between one and two, and I sit there and it was like there was nothing else for me to do. Okay, I got that. That's fine. Then I got into two and they were telling about a power greater than myself. I always thought the power greater than myself was a dope man. That was my theory. I had a theory already that God was this mean, evil creature and that had done so much sinful things that there was no way in the world that he would accept me. And then somebody told me, well, dummy, it's not a religious program. You know, you ain't got to get in the God line. It's going to be okay. And then I had a problem with the insanity. You don't call me crazy. I might have done some dumb things, but I ain't crazy. And that found made me know that I had to start getting a dictionary and looking up things that this thing was telling me. Because I had burned a lot of brain cells. You know, my mind was off. My thinking was off. Now you tell me somebody that walk up in here, been using drugs for over 20 years, tell me your mind ain't gonna be off. And your thinking and your brain cells. So I had to kind of like hold on to something. I didn't know what it was, but there was this spirit. And people were telling me, and people continued consistently to talk about it. And then they told me it could be someone I choose. It could be my own choice of a God. Didn't have to be a Christian, a Muslim, a Catholic, a Buddhist. It didn't have to be none of that. I had the wrong interpretation because my theory was off. My experience showed me in time that this person only had to be loving and caring. That this person was somebody I could trust and talk to because man will let you down. See what I'm saying? People in general will let you down. So I had to find something that was not of flesh because of the fact that the drugs I used and everything else I trusted always let me down. And then my next theory, because the steps are nothing but theories to you until your butt get off your butt and work them. That's when they're going to mean something to you because I don't know what's going on there. It's like the new breed is coming in. And like I said, I apologize early. But I can only say what comes to my mind, which is my experience. Sometimes folk don't want to work the steps. I don't understand it. See, because we done already told you, and it was theory first, work the steps, the traditions, and carry your butt to the concepts. We've already told you that. And if you don't do that, you are doomed on your own. So what I did was I continued to listen, third step, messed around, and let me know that I wasn't in this thing by myself. That everything that happened to me, I could turn it over. Now, what a concept. Now, here it is, this person that didn't want to be with God, didn't want to be with anything spiritual. All of a sudden now, I'm talking about turning something over, doing what I heard you all say, doing what was only theory to me at first. But when I did it, let me tell you something. I didn't see the burning bush, but I had a relief inside of me that let me know that from now on, I don't have to be in charge of anything. Ain't that something? You know how you a husband or you a wife, you got to be in charge of going to work, taking care of your family. The wife got to be in charge of taking care of the children. Everything in the world got to be done. And then sometimes that's a hell of a responsibility. And see, I didn't know that this good orderly direction or this God that I asked to come into my life could help me with all that. You know how hard it is sometimes to get you a bag of dope or a crack or coke when you ain't got no money? I mean, you got to come up with ways, and you know they treat you so bad, talk so bad to you, just like you was an animal or something. They talk terrible. So I had to sit. I said to myself, you know, in the world I want to go out to that, back to that. But they taught me that getting a relationship with this God of my understanding could keep me from going back, could keep me right here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, could keep me being a productive citizen. Because how many of us have smoked or shot up the car, the house, the bank account? You know, because y'all look like y'all been broke before. Y'all don't look like y'all been filthy rich all your life. If you do got a little bit of change, you better thank the God of your understanding for it. And then that fourth step come talking about some immoral, fearless, moral inventory. Why would you want to get in my business? Theory-wise, that didn't have any kind of significance, didn't make any sense to me. Because when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, everybody out there had, excuse my language, fucked me up. It was everybody's fault but mine. And so since it was everybody's fault but mine, that was what I wrote on the paper. I heard the people talk about, well, the fourth step inventory, write it, and it kept scaring me to death. If you don't do a fourth step inventory, you could relapse. You will relapse, not could. And I was saying to myself, I could relapse behind this trash here, this evidence here. A sister got humble and went to writing. Now, the things that they told me about this fourth step were true. First, it was theory. Then, when I wrote this fourth step, I had to take a look at Teresa. She was some piece of work. Because everybody, like I said, who did what they did or got what they got from me deserved it. Anybody who get in between my path and a pill of dope must be ready to get an ass whipping or something. But anyway, when I did that fourth step, it lifted up things for me. I found out about assets and liabilities I had. I found out about good and bad parts of me. But the thing was, I found out about me. And then in that fifth tradition, it wasn't necessarily a recitation of my fourth tradition. What it did was, it allowed me to allow another person to come into my boundaries and trust and go outside of the box and trust other people. God was there because I could have very well said, well, God knows what I did, so why should I write a fourth step? But God didn't step in every time I decided I wanted to do something wrong where that fourth step was concerned. And that sixth step, talking about those defects and making my list and becoming willing, that's all I had to do. Because a lot of us will read these steps and they'll think, well, I got to do this and raise the hand. Well, it says make it. No, it didn't say become willing. That means just become ready, willing. You know, have an open mind. Say, well, my way ain't the right way all the time. That's all I had to do was write those things. And then in seven, all I had to do was humbly ask God to remove That's all. And guess what? He ever removed them all. I still cuss. I still play the lottery sometimes. You know, I got some things that I do. And not to say that I'm up here telling you I walk water, because I don't. It's just that I don't feel like those things are hurting me. Maybe they will. Maybe it's a yet for me. I don't know. But while I'm, my butt is pointing toward earth, I'm going to enjoy myself. You know, like I said, in time, something will happen to change that. I don't know. May not. Today, I ain't caring about it. I done took my medication. I'm fine. But for the most part, you know, that eighth step about those amends, becoming willing to make those amends, putting those amends, those people on my list, I got confused because I thought, well, if I put him on the list, I'm going to have to do this and I'm going to have to do that. I had the dope man and everybody on the list. Theory! Because I thought that what you were saying was I had to make amends or apologize to all these people. My sponsor had to stop me because I was getting ready to go tell the dope man that I beat the package, and a couple of times that I didn't come back with the money. I never had the money in the beginning. No understanding. Based on theory. Theory ain't nothing but the idea. Once you get the experience, that's the actual action part of it. I didn't have to go with Sigmund Freud. I didn't have to go with the theory of relativity. All I had to do was stay inside my own head. He telling me I got 5 minutes. I'm glad now because I'm getting tired. But anyway, with my ninth step, I made my amends. I didn't make them all because there's some people that I haven't made them to. That's because God haven't intervened and put us in the company of one another. I made amends to dead people. I made amends. Some of the ways I made it was by not doing the things that I did anymore. You know, some things are just common sense. You know, making amends to the family by staying clean, by being a productive member of society. There's so many things I could have done. And I did do them. There's still some people on the list, but like I said, I haven't gotten there yet. Then my 10th step with that inventory, that daily inventory, looking at myself, when I properly admit that I'm wrong, I don't have to go back and put you on my 8th step list. A lot of people don't know that because we still got egos and attitudes. We suffer from that tremendously. And we think that, well, I'm not going to say nothing to you because you ain't said nothing to me. And so forth and so on. So the bottom line is, now I can tell you, well, I'm wrong about so and so and so. I can promptly tell you. Promptly is not a hard word. That doesn't mean tell me in 30 years. That's not promptly. It's not for me anyway. But anyway, in our 11th tradition, I saw it through prayer and meditation, conscious contact with the God, asking only for his will to be done in my life. That's all I had to do. I never liked the God steps. But when I did that and sought through God, that was the only way that I could stay spiritual and continue with these steps, was to seek God's help. Because you're not going to stop using drugs on your own successfully without a God of your understanding, believe it or not. You're not. You're going to find yourself coming back, going in, going out, until eventually one or two or three things may happen. You're going to have a nervous reaction, an allergic reaction, and break out in jails, institutions, and death. It's going to be all over your ass. Jails, institutions, and death. And then that 12 is the truth. That 12. Haven't had a spiritual awakening. Now, can't you tell from what I told you today that I was some piece of work back in the day? Because I upheld the theory that an addict, any addict, can stop using and lose the desire. I crashed that all up. See, because I had to be debriefed, reprogrammed, and put back on my square so that I could be the person that I am today. All I have to do now is the things that I have learned. All I need to do is come tell y'all about it. Because as sure as I'm standing here, somebody out there don't know about what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous. See, and the bottom line is, as an old timer and a recovery custodian, it is my responsibility and my duty to come and tell you what has so freely been given to me. And the day that I stopped that, because it says to keep what I have, I have to give it away. So when I get to that point, because you know, I got a lot of folk out there now that say, well, I got mine. How in the hell are you going to keep it if you don't give it away? So I'm going to leave you with this, newcomer. I don't know how much I gave you on theory, but I know I gave you enough to buy you a ticket to get on the damn bus of recovery. See, because next time they ask me to speak, I hope they tell me to speak on something else if they ask me to come again. See, because this was a doozy for me. It wrecked a sister because I kept trying to go so many places until I surrendered when I walked through the door. I surrendered, my sponsee prayed on me, and that was all she wrote. I said, good gracious of life, we own now. So I hope to see you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your convention. I'd like to thank this convention committee for asking me to share. It wasn't so bad. God was with me, and I know that somebody out there got touched by the message that he brought forth for me today. I'm Teresa, and I'm an addict.